Arvik's efforts mostly predated independence. Other language reformers have begun their work only after they had a state at their disposal. The new Republic of Turkey under Kemal Atatürk had lost many of the Ottoman Empire's provinces. Its pride was wounded and its population now far more Turkish. Atatürk decreed a switch from the Arabic to the Latin alphabet and, in an extraordinary purge, sought to get rid of Arabic and Persian borrowings, replacing them with new coinages. One scholar calls this a catastrophic success. Modern Turks need special training to read the Turkish of 100 years ago. Purist engineering has also been used to distance a language from an overly close relative. Standard Norwegian was once too similar to Danish for some Norwegians, hence the creation of New Norwegian, Nynorsk. Cobbled together from dialects and avoiding Danish echoes, which today is co-official alongside the older Dano-Norwegian, Bokmål. Hindi and Urdu are close enough that some consider them a single language, but since Indian and Pakistani independence, new Hindi coinages and borrowings have tended to come from Sanskrit, Urdu ones from Arabic and Persian. The languages are growing apart. In fact, places that accept foreign words with a live-and-let-live attitude are the exceptions. Centuries ago, English, which seems undogmatic, itself experienced the Inkhorn controversy, in which some intellectuals freely coined words from Greek and Latin, such as educate and ostracize. Some, such as supediate, meaning to supply, never made it. Arvik-like purists fought back, coining terms like witchcraft to replace borrowings like reason. Their attitude was exemplified by Sir John Cheek, who in 1557 wrote, "I'm of the opinion that our tongue should be written clean and pure, unmixed and unmangled with borrowings of other tongues." Most of the Inkhornisms survived. These days, English has become so robust that it is no longer the polluted but the polluter. That it now lacks a purist tendency of its own, maybe less because the British are naturally laissez-faire liberals than because English is the world's top linguistic dog. It exports words around the globe, often to the alarm of nationalists overseas. They might take some comfort from the fact that English thrived after its controversial mangling. Objectively, borrowing does no harm. But then, such worries are rarely objective to begin with.